All right. It's ready. The meeting of the Mount Charleston Town Board will come to order. And we will now have the Pledge of Allegiance. Bernie, will you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's okay. We have the minutes on top. Anybody? See, this is mine, but no agenda.
Here, take one.
Thank you.
Oh, did I give you? I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh.
That's okay. That's okay. Curtis shares.
Thank you, Curtis.
And it's good to see everybody out. I thought I left plenty of time, drove around for a while. It looked like someone took my parking place. It was Ernie.
I did.
I know.
And I rode with someone else. Okay.
Alrighty, so next on our agenda is roll call.
Olivia Valley.
Ernie Frazzaro.
Brenda Talley.
Curtis Alexander.
Misty Haji Sheikh.
Let the record show, we have a full board in attendance. Yay. This is the period for public comment for items that are on the agenda. Keep in mind, this is best to be used if you can't stay for the reports and the business part of the meeting, because there will be opportunity to have questions asked and answered at that time. So if we have anyone that needs to talk to an item on the agenda at this point, now's the time. Seeing none, we'll go to the approval of the minutes. Oh, we haven't.
That's what I got.
We'll do the first ones, July 28th. Think back.
Madam Chair, I abstain since I was not at that meeting at the conference.
Move to approve the July 28th minutes.
I'll second.
Question.
Where are you? Vivian.
I guess it's two, and I don't know when it happened, but when did NHP at some point went to NSP?
Yes.
And so we're still saying NHP okay, in the minutes, but I don't even know when it happened.
I can change it.
And then that's just a question, really.
Okay, that's housekeeping. Yeah.
And then in one of these 2 minutes, well, there was we had a conversation about Old Town, and I don't remember which month it was.
It was the month before this month.
It was okay.
Okay. Thank you for being diligent.
Quite a diligent lady.
Yes. Thank you, Vivian. Is there any more any more corrections or housekeeping on the July 28th? Seeing none, minutes stand approved as noted. And going on to the next minutes is September 1st.
Excuse me.
Any corrections, additions?
You know, if we got these the day after, maybe we could remember, but...
You are free to type them up if you feel like doing that tomorrow.
I don't need to see you that often, but thanks for the offer.
Yeah. Okay.
I wasn't here either, so... I wasn't here for that one. No.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Seeing no corrections or additions, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? And motion carries. Thank you for letting me use this.
Sure.
I want to rip it off. You can have that. Yeah. Okay, we're going to our reports.
Madam, we need to do our agenda.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yep. Approval for the agenda. Is there anything we need to hold or delete?
I suggest...
Combine?
I have one correction.
Okay.
I move that they be accepted with one correction.
Okay.
The next meeting date is not October 27th of 22.
Oh, sorry.
It's next year, isn't it?
That's January. Thank good catch.
It would be February 2nd.
Oh, okay.
Get January off.
I mean, I'll double check.
2023, yeah.
I believe, because last night, our next meeting is February 1st, so
it'll be
February
6th. Yeah, okay.
So I apologize. I'm a woman, one woman show these days, so I need all the help.
Okay, any other corrections? Or additions, deletions?
Madam, did you have a second?
Second.
Yes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. And now moving on to reports, we'll hear from Sergeant Matt Marlowe. Pass it down so he can, you're up. I want the funeral march to be playing right now.
Yes, funeral march.
Boom, bum, ba, da, 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 da.
He's
leaving.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Ready, keep up, Bernie.
We all know this. We never voted on this.
I didn't get a, we didn't have a quorum until just now. Maybe we can vote.
Yeah, but I have a phone, and I didn't know, so.
He only sent the email out this afternoon, late.
Yeah, it was just still late. Hot. Let me get to the other information you might be interested in. Matt Marlowe, Las Vegas Metro, sergeant from Mount Charleston. The last reporting period, we've had 22 calls for service up here on the mountain. We wrote 24 citations, no arrests. Lately, the Metro volunteers assisted us in collecting food donations for the less fortunate Indian Springs. That was a huge success, and so thank you to all of you who participated in that, assisted the MVPs, donated food, money, gift cards, everything else that went that way. They got way more than we've seen in the past, even. So that was a huge success. Thank you, Donna, for orchestrating that.
Thanks to the community.
Stop DUI signs have been in place for a couple weeks now. I'm sure you've seen those running up and down the highway. As you know, those represent folks killed by DUI, not just on our highways, but in multiple highways in Nevada. Those will stay up till probably the second week in January. And then preparing for winter patrol and road closures. And Sergeant Bong's going to speak a little bit probably about her NHP coverage. We're going to try to pick up the slack with some of their shortages because they've got shortages of manpower. So we'll actually be working Metro, when I say we, will be working Kyle Canyon side and the Lee Canyon side during those 2 weeks of school break, December 16th through January 2nd. My plan is to run it for as long as I can until I turn to pass on the torch, the same way we have in the past. When it kind of fills up in here with the legal parking up in Kyle Canyon, we're shutting the roads down. If you're not a resident, a guest of a resident, or going to a restaurant, you're not coming up here. And that usually fills up around 10 o'clock in the morning on those days. Please prepare your friends, family, and everyone else that you know. That's what we're going to end up doing. We just can't afford to allow this to become a parking lot all the way up in here. I can't get medical through when we need to. And that's going to be the same for the other side, as to our best of our ability. I know Dan's here, Hooper. Most of that stuff is reservation only to get up there. We will allow, obviously, folks to come through and park in their parking lots they manage, and those that have pre-purchase passes for the ski and snow resort. But short of that, it's going to be, to the best of my ability, it's going to be run the same way we run Kyle Canyon. We just can't afford to have that jammed up in there and not allow medical through there. Does anyone have any questions on anything that I presented? I'm sorry, does the board have questions on anything I presented? Yes, ma'am.
I just want to know, in the past we've had three units. Are we still working with three units for all of this?
Three officers up here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just going to be manpower dependent. We found some overtime, so there are going to be extra bodies. I don't know if there'll be three in Kyle. There may be two in Kyle and one or two in Lee. Okay. So we're going to have to kind of spread us out. Forest Service, I believe, you're going to speak on some of that. We'll have some assistance from them as well this year. So there'll be folks up here. Okay. Anyone else on the board? Okay. Bernie, you got nothing for me on that?
I'll talk to you after the meeting.
Yes, sir. Anyone in the audience have any questions on anything that I've given so far? Awesome. So if you saw the email that went out today, or if you didn't see the email, I'll repeat a little bit of that. It's been an honor and a privilege to serve this community and live in this community for the last 6 years. We couldn't have been as successful as we were as the police department, keeping crime low, solving the crimes that did occur up here and just kind of keeping the traffic and everything else handled as well as we did without all of your support. And so I thank you all for that. I thank you for supporting me. I thank you for supporting my squad, my team, and the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. On the 24th of December of this month, I'm transferring. I'm going to take over the search and rescue section for Las Vegas Metro. So I will. Yeah, it's a bittersweet. It's bittersweet. I'll still be a resident up here. So you can't get rid of me that easily.
Oh, that's a good message.
That's what we wanted.
Much
to
know. Wants me to move off the mountain.
No. I'm your biggest fan.
Liar, pants on fire.
So on the 24th, like I said, so that'll cover a lot of that holiday time. I'll still be up here. And then my replacement is going to be Sergeant Andy Velasquez. Would you step up here, please? Andy's coming from off the patrol. He's a field training sergeant at this point, training the new officers and what they need to do to be better officers. I think he's going to be a great fit. What do you got, 17 years on Metro?
Almost 19 now.
19, sorry. Wow. So you're getting some seasoning up here, and Andy is, I think, a really good fit for continuing and improving what we've already established up here for you. If you got my email, you would have got his email address and his cell phone number, and I'll let him give that out here right now, too, if anybody didn't get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Matt was saying, my name's Andrew Velasquez. I've been working various aspects of patrol for the last 19 years. I'm born and raised in Las Vegas, and I've been coming up to the mountain for pretty much my whole life. So I'm very excited to work with all of you and get to know everyone and hopefully fill some pretty big shoes. So,
yeah.
bear with me. It's going to be a little bit of a change for me up here. I'm hoping it's not going to be anything other than a few little growing pains here or there. But I'm going to do the best I can for you, and I'm really looking forward to it. So my email address is going to be A as in Adam, 8444, V as in Victor, at lvmpd.com.
Can you say that one more time?
Yes, ma'am. A as in Adam, 8444, V as in Victor, at lvmpd.com. And my phone number is 702-817-6327. 702-817-6327. So I have a few duties that I need to complete, to kind of end my time down in the valley, finish up with field training and things like that, but I'm always available no matter what anyway, from now until the official transfer date. So if you folks can't get a hold of Matt for whatever reason, please reach out. I'll do the best I can for you from now until then and when I take over. So it's been a pleasure to meet you so far.
wait, I got a question first. I rarely talk, okay? Now, did Matt tell you that at the meetings you bring donuts for everyone?
He didn't tell me
so
that. But
you bring it at every meeting.
All right, it's no meeting. I take requests, so, personally, Wenchel's is the best, but, I grew up on it. Yes, sir.
One of the best things I can say about Matt is that he's responsive to neighbors and everybody equally. So if you can be responsive to people in a format that fits your time frame, which really means is convenient for us, we'll get along fine.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, I'm kind of a slave to my work. I take it very seriously, and I take all of your concerns and needs very seriously. So I'm not looking to make any kind of drastic changes or anything. Obviously, I'm a different person than Matt, but I'm hoping to carry on the legacy and keep everyone happy and safe. So.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on, we have a report from our Mount Charleston Fire District Chief. Is George here?
There's two chiefs out there, just a minute.
Okay, well, we got...
Okay.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Good evening.
Hey, George.
George Gonzalez, Mount Charleston Fire Protection District. We'll go through a couple things real quick. We have 30 calls for service for the last reporting period. We actually winterized our Lee Canyon Station. It's winterized. Our seasonal staff has been laid off. Our two seasonal employees are gone. So we're back to our regular staffing model. Also like to announce the hiring and promotion of Jason Douglas as the new assistant fire chief. He'll be working under my supervision and direction. He's going to be assisting me with anything related to the fire district operation. He just started on Monday, so please welcome him here. A little bit of history on Jason. He brings a diverse background of experience, everything from wildland structure, medical, federal work, county work, cross boundaries. Also, even more, a little bit more history is that his father used to work at this station a long time ago.
Wow, cool, nice.
So, glad to have Jason Douglas aboard. Appreciate his willingness to help me out, well, help the district. And then the next thing is that we got a couple updates on our equipment. We are working on our brush. That's almost done. I keep saying that, I apologize, but it is almost done. We're working on the brackets and some registration, and hopefully that unit will be available next week. Yay. Thankfully. Other than that, any questions for me from the panel? Can I tie in with you at the end of the meeting?
You know what I'm going to ask?
Yes, I do know.
I'm Misty? Probably going to ask Vivian's question about
Misty?
The residential fire document that you showed us a draft form of.
I did.
Yes, and?
I don't have it with me, so I have failed you.
What am I going to do with you?
My apologies.
Could you send me a copy of the draft since I've missed a couple meetings?
Is it still a draft? Okay.
No, it's not a draft.
Thank you.
Okay.
Fabulous. Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the panel or from the citizens?
From residents?
All right.
Thank you, George. And now we'll have our Las Vegas Valley Water District.
Where's this?
There he goes. There he goes.
Mr. Bailey.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Jason Bailey and Aaron Gamble with the Cuyahoga County Water District. With our report, the well levels are in the concern range still. I don't have the precipitation levels for November quite yet, but October was a little bit less than an inch of precipitation. We report November's numbers when we get them. Just a reminder, though, that following the first freeze, which has happened, outdoor irrigation is not permitted. And we also remind everybody to please kind of winterize your plumbing, your pipes, protect them if you can. We've noticed a few broken pipes up here. Just wanted to report on a test shutdown we had earlier in the month of November. This was an issue or a subject topic, I guess, we talked about the last meeting. Everything was fine for that shutdown. It lasted approximately 1 hour. The residents were notified, the fire department was notified, and everything was back up and running without any issues. Also, just wanted to note that we have kind of repaired our storage building just off of Mont Blanc. If you remember in the summer, some of the high winds took off much of the roof, so the roof been put back on. We've secured the facility a lot more, some new doors. And then also just, I guess, to follow along with others, we do have some staffing changes. If you remember Derek Jackson, he was the operations superintendent up here. He's moved on with some other work responsibilities, and Aaron Gamble is the new operations superintendent.
Aaron?
A-A-R-O-N.
Double A.
Yep, A-A-R-O-N.
Thank you.
And Aaron's been up here. Many of you know him. He's been here 6 years, knows the community well, knows the system very well. So you're in good hands to keep it maintained. He has some cards.
I have some business cards. I'll set them up on the table.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, wonderful.
Some of you probably already have my phone number. I know I've talked to some of you several times. So, but yeah, if you ever see any leaks or anything like that, you have some concern, by all means, feel free to give me a call anytime. Shoot me a text if you want. And if I don't have an answer, I'll get back to you if I can.
That's our report. I don't know if there's any questions.
Okay. Any questions from the...
Pass them around.
Oh, I thought we had a raised hand. Any questions from
our
board?
That was me flailing.
No.
Someone had over here.
Mona?
Hey there. So, I saw a testing for the water a while back, and it had a lot of heavy metals in there. Has there been any changes? Have you guys tested again? What's the status?
I haven't seen any of that report yet. I just recently moved over to this, so
I'm glad I got...
When you say a while back, how long ago?
It was the summer, yeah.
Okay. I'll check on it. I think they do testing every 6 months, yeah, about twice a year.
And just all, what are they doing about it, if anything, or should we just all put an RO machine?
No, if it's of concern, we'll notify the residents, and there's some things you can do. But a lot of it, too, is based on the fixtures that maybe
have all of those
old.
No.
And we should keep it. You're talking about, like, lead leakage and things like that.
No, it wasn't lead. Ryan, what was it? Uranium?
I don't recall. That's not...
Okay. I'll send the report to you.
Yeah.
I think it's that report you guys mail out. I don't remember.
The water quality report?
Yeah, like whether it's quarterly and you analyze the water and whatever you're adding or not. And you put the allowed amounts and all that stuff.
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just a clarification. We've got a lot of people here that normally aren't here. Freezing problems anytime during the winter. Aaron's the first call.
You can call, you're more than welcome to call me. You're more than welcome to call the 800 number. I will tell you, I probably will be faster to get through too.
I found that in the past to be true.
Yes, so by all means, you're more than welcome to. We actually are going to have, because I am in this new position, we actually just recently, like today, hired my replacement. And so I'll be making sure I bring him up to one of these meetings so you can meet him as well. So a lot of you probably know the other operator that works up here, his name's Dee. He's been up here now for a little over a year, and so he's great.
Yeah, he is.
We highly stress to people, we're your water operators. We're up here all the time. We usually have somebody up here at least two, sometimes three times a week. If you see one of the operators up here and you have a question, feel free to flag them down. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions you have. And again, if they don't know, they'll get your name and number, and I'll get back to you.
Aaron, since we have been calling out emails and phone numbers, could you please do that for the people who will not get a card tonight?
Sure. So my email is aaron.gamble. Gamble, gamble, just like Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Don't know if that was good for me moving here, but yeah. at lvvwd.com.
At lvvwd.
Las Vegas Valley.
Las Vegas
Valley.
WD.com. And then my phone number is 702-373-0332.
This gentleman had a great idea. Maybe you can leave one of your cards on the table and people can just take a picture of it.
Oh, great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it might have all been handed off, but you can...
Yeah, I'll sure leave mine up here till we go, so don't take it, anybody. Just take a picture.
Great idea.
Any other questions?
I have one over here.
Okay.
You guys are the water district, and I read your report, and they, a proposal has been made to rebuild the lodge up there. And we've been hearing that it might be more than 30 rooms on top of the building. And I was wondering if you guys have been asked to give figures on what that might mean as far as using water, and maybe in a little water year. Are you know anything about that at all? Is it considered you at all?
I haven't heard anything.
Does the lodge, pull off the echo wells or the what? Do they have their own well?
So the lodge does not. So the old restaurant did not, and so their fire hydrants and their actual restaurant had their own well.
Okay.
The cabins that are currently there are served by LPDWD.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, did you guys get an answer to that?
Yeah.
Chris?
Aaron, just a question, because you said they're served on their own wells. Their well or a private well?
They had a private well that was up there that
supplied. Because when the fire occurred, the hydrants supposedly were turned off and they were pretty much dry on the well?
Yes. So but our hydrant, they ended up using the water off of our fire hydrant to actually put it out.
They paid back.
They fill our well back up.
You might want to stick around because later in our agenda that does come before us. And so you might want to stick around in case anything comes up you need to listen to.
Okay. Okay. Brian?
I'm just curious. The cabins are on the Echo well then?
Yeah.
I thought you said the cabins were on the...
The cabins are served by us, but that comes from the Echo, our Echo wells. So we have three wells up in the Echo subdivision.
Okay. All righty. I don't think we have any more questions. Thank you, Jason and Aaron. And we'll move on to Donna with our Metro Volunteers. What did we have, someone?
Hello. Donna Thompson, Metro Volunteers. We're sure going to miss Matt, right?
Yes, we are.
Big hole. I don't have anything other than we're having our usual winter meeting next week to discuss how we're going to deploy. I don't have a lot of volunteers. We have an open enrollment period, an application period in January. If you're interested, please, we could sure use some help. The other thing I'm going to ask is if we're at your neighborhood, smile, wave, slow down. We can't recognize everybody, and everybody's all bundled up. Don't come sliding through like we know. We don't know everybody, and everybody's working different things. So smile, wave, be nice, please, and don't speed through there. It's hazardous enough. And that's all the thing. Oh, and thank you for all the donations. Officer Ford, who helped me with the community food drive, said that was the most food that ever was collected. We had gift cards. We had flour, sugar, shortening. It was amazing. It filled my truck all the way up. So... it was tremendous. Thank you very much on behalf of the school and the families down below. Any questions for me?
I don't have a question, Donna, but because we have such a big group here, I might have people that don't really know what the MVPs do or how to apply.
True. MVPs usually help Metro with whatever they need help with, but primarily what we do is block the neighborhood roads. We're not allowed to be on the state highway, but we block, I say block, but we really just... keep people from coming into your neighborhood to get stuck in your driveway and play in your yard. If they insist, we have to let them in. We have gear to keep us warm, but we stand out there a couple hours, maybe as much as six and then about four, to keep people out of your neighborhoods and to keep them and safe, because they'll all back up, especially at Echo, or they'll get stuck in Rainbow or in Old Town. And if we have enough people, then we can deploy to every little neighborhood to keep them out of there. Traditionally, we take care of Rainbow and Echo because those are the biggest problems, biggest neighborhoods. We also do other community events, of course, but that's the main thing. If you want to apply, I'm available on Facebook, and my email is d1thomps@yahoo, and I can leave that around if you guys want. But the application period, I'm not going to lie, is pretty arduous. They want to make sure that you're working with the cops. It's not going to be that you're not some horrible felon, of course, but that you're trustworthy and that you can keep your mouth shut if they're told to and follow directions. So that's pretty much what the background is. Anything else?
Donna, let me add to that real quick for the MVP. So it's an incident that doesn't occur very often, and we don't want to ever see it. If we don't have to, is evacuation.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
MVPs are trained. MVPs are trained to work evacuations and help us with teams that we're going to bring up from the valley to help with those evacuations because they are familiar with the neighborhoods. It's pretty fun training. It's pretty cool. It's just not a high incident issue. So, but it is another critical issue, and the more MVPs we have on the team, the better off we're going to be if some kind of incident happens with that. So keep that in mind, too. If you have some spare time and you can volunteer, it is a lengthy process, but I think it would be worth it in the end to help your community.
Oh, well, thank you, Donna. Okay. So we're not NHP, we're NSP.
Maybe it's been out of safety control. Okay. I don't know.
Okay, well, our report says the NHP, but I know that's changed. So we'll have our chief give us some information. I think it's NSP. Not really sure what that's meant. Safety.
Oh, we're
state.
All the okay. We're Department of Public Safety, Nevada State Police, Highway Patrol.
State Police.
I have some cards here if you need my cell phone. Kathy Vonk, I'm the sergeant for Indian Springs, Mount Charleston District. Three things. We finally ordered the equipment that you guys approved for the grant, so that should be coming in shortly, so thank you again.
Good.
We've already pulled out a lot of cars up there on the Lee Canyon side, at least, and the Wando Room, the Kyle Canyon side. The stats for this month, 255 citations. We worked 14 crashes. Only two of those were up in this area, one on 157 and one on 158. Fortunately, five of those 14 were injuries. One of them was a fatal up in Nye County. And he actually rolled over during the nighttime, during the darkness, and then nobody saw him till the morning. But he was fine in the morning, and then about a week later, he didn't make it. And that's just a reminder, if you can Google, share your location with someone that you trust, then they might be able to realize something's up a little bit sooner than daylight. Our average response time, these are October stats, was 35 minutes. We still had quite a few animals involved in some of those crashes, whether people swerved to miss them or they struck them. Three of those crashes were DUIs, both alcohol and drugs. And that's not it for the stats. Three arrests. Handled 10 abandoned vehicles, 56 motorist assists, 8 pedestrians, and we had a total of 237 traffic stops. Our staffing is lower this year than last year due to a retirement. For winter operations, we did request, I think, 26 or 28 overtime shifts, and we got about half of that. So, and of course, we're on the Lee Canyon side. So forestry is going to supplement, as well as Sergeant Marlowe and his crew. So we should still be covered for winter ops. Any questions?
It's about down the hill, really, on the city. They just approved a tavern right on 157. A bunch of us went in and opposed it because it's a two-lane highway, and they haven't worked with BNDOT on any kind of changes. Have they involved you at all?
Mm-hmm. Not that I know of. Okay. Where is the tavern going to be?
Pardon? It's
is it the easiest way?
It's on Schaumburg, which doesn't exist, like, which is going to become Schaumburg.
It's right at power line.
Where the power lines,
are? Yeah. It's just right there.
Okay. Yeah. Our concern was putting the tavern right on the DUI designated, you know,
Memorial Highway.
Okay, any other?
Against it, but if they have to do it, then egress and exit should all be off of Sheet 5, not on 157. You have 2 million cars a year coming up here on a two-lane highway. It's just going to cost a great deal.
Yeah, we'll do as much enforcement as we can.
Okay.
I mean, we're mostly on the 95, but once per shift, it seems like once per day, at least the troopers running this whole route. So.
Do you interact with NDOT then?
We do.
Okay. Yeah. They have redone a study at the interchange after Bruce Morgan was hit, and then I almost got hit on a head-on, and they did admit that there was some design flaws, but nothing's ever been dealt. So have they ever reached out to you on anything along those lines?
No, I think they give those issues
Mario
to their engineering.
No one has ever, it's been 2 years now. So.
If NDOT is not here, I can make an inquiry if you'd like.
Yeah, just maybe look at Carson City. Carson City. The signage and design.
You're talking about 395?
Yeah, with the interchange. That was Sunstone there. We asked for it 2 years ago before Sunstone or any of that came into play, and now you've got that additional. And I watched bicycles the other day in a car. Missed the turn and came in head on to them, because that's where part of the problem was, and I know that's where Bruce was hit.
I almost got hit once, and
me
I
too.
Told his body here that happened.
Yep.
But RJ had a story that it's one of three intersections of 95 that are going to be fixed. They didn't offer details. Yeah. So that's the detail I'd like to know.
Yeah, I can send an email.
2 years later, hopefully they'll fix it.
So, the construction that's going on right there with the new construction, that is a nightmare for people coming up, especially at night.
You can't tell where to go.
I can't tell.
Is there anything they can do?
Just like you said, same thing. Somebody was head on, and I almost got into an accident just because they didn't know how to navigate through the codes.
Yeah, I can make a call to Las Vegas Paving. They're the ones who set up that entire...
Unfortunately, that's the city, so the town board here do nothing about it because the county line starts at Wisham Island, and so we were not involved in anything, and so we got no notices. They didn't talk to the Lower Kyle Canyon folks or anything, so your horse properties are an issue right now. They're going to...
Frustrating.
Yeah. And they're also going to be putting in a Whataburger and a gaming and something else where the speed limit is 35 miles an hour at that corner there. Mm-hmm. They're going to be putting in, and I don't know if they will be selling alcohol or not at that location, but we could have two locations selling alcohol at the bottom of the... So, just letting you know.
They drink at the top, too.
All righty. Do we have any more questions?
Oh, you got one over here.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if this is an appropriate format or forum or not, and I understand that you're short-staffed and have bigger fish to fry. I drive to work in the morning in the dark, and I drive home at night in the dark, and I swear it's got to be 40, maybe 50% of the people who don't dim their lights.
Yes.
Dangerous. One time I came out, and there was a burrow on the other side, and I don't know how the hell I didn't hit it.
Yeah.
Is there any way that maybe periodically people can be pulled over for that, just so people realize, hey, there might be a consequence, I better lower my high beams? It's just so dangerous.
That's what scares me. I can send a note out to an issue.
And if they can get up this way after dark, then they will.
We
usually only have one trooper on in the
maybe a message board could be borrowed. I know Metro has some, so maybe they could do something
with
that. There's always burrows.
All right. Oh, Vivian in the back.
I will say the other day somebody did that to me. They had their brights on, and so when I'm looking at your brights, I can't see anything. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to tell me that one of the horses was in the road again. So I turned on my flashers when I saw the horse, which then told them, oh, maybe I should use my flashers instead of the bright lights, and so I'm blinding the people that can't see.
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay.
Some of the modern cars do it automatically, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're good. No more questions for you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And now from Forest Service, Doug McNeil.
I have my notes on my phone, so I'm not.
You're not texting.
I'm being efficient, right? Hi, everybody. Deb McNeil. I'm the area manager, which is in other forest units of the District Ranger for the Spring Mountains NRA. So nice to meet so many people tonight. Couple of things of note. The visitor center is going to be open 9 to 4 every day, except Christmas. So we're taking Christmas off. And I know that is a challenge, but we can't leave the parking open and plow it unless the building is open. So anyway, feel free to go in. They have hot chocolate and programming, and obviously we'll have snow play. The website for our media messaging throughout the winter is coordinated with Metro, NHP, the Ski Area, Visitor Center, and Clark County, everybody, really big alliance. But we try to send, at least for the forest, through gomountcharleston.com, and it's our nonprofit partner at the visitor center, and that's because it's not a government agency, and they can pretty much send and tweet and do things a lot quicker. They have a website that's also in Spanish. So we will amplify their messages, but they have a much higher traffic because people don't know what the Spring Mountains National Recreation Area is, but they know what Mount Charleston is. So anyway, that is our branded area, and you can get what picnic areas or campgrounds are open, links to the ski area. You can get snow cameras. You know, there are also fire cameras in the summer, but you can actually go and see what the weather looks like on a couple of Logan Kyle and Lee here. So
traffic and road conditions.
Yeah, that's also a link. There's a whole like winter snow play thing on the map, so really helpful. And it'll also tell you, you know, stuff is closed and send out messages. It's not just for winter, but right now, obviously, that's what it is. We have 4 additional law enforcement coming on for the 2 weeks of Christmas and New Year's when the school's out, so in addition to our 2. So really happy about that. We bring them in from all over to just amplify, which is not normal, but we need it. We have started the surveys and process, the Sniff Lima project for upper, what we call the Upper Kyle Canyon Trails project.
Please explain Sniff Lima, because
so Sniff Lima is a Southern Nevada Public Lands Management Act, and it's a law that was passed in Southern Nevada years ago that as the Bureau of Land Management sells land in Las Vegas Valley, Congress passed a law that says those land proceeds go to basically grants for the federal land agencies and the counties. So a lot of your parks and our visitor center complex, the improvements to campgrounds, picnic areas will be done through that grant. So we have 4 projects going, well, we have more than 4, but 4 in the last round, and we have some more coming. But the one I wanted to mention, because we just kicked it off, and I'm happy at a probably less busy meeting to give you a briefing on all those projects. I don't want to take up too much time. But we did start the survey. So that's going to look at the Kyle and Mary, I mean, the Trail Canyon and Mary Jane Falls parking area, as well as all the trails, both legal and illegal. I say illegal. Authorized and unauthorized, probably a better term, because there's a lot of user-created trails up there. So the idea is we're going in and surveying what everything is. Anybody who's been on those trails knows they need work desperately. And we've got a lot of erosion issues, so signage and all of that will be part of it. But about a year from now, well, probably 9 months from now, we'll be coming to you for the public scoping on what does that look like. But the first step is basically going out and figuring out what it looks like and what other amenities we might need there, and whether the parking lot should be paved or changed or any of those things, because we can't keep that parking lot open in the winter because we can't plow it because it's sheet ice. So don't know if that's the right decision or not, but it's not. It's something that the environmental and public scoping process will consider. So I just want to put that out there for folks. So it's not a surprise if you see us out surveying. We're not doing anything yet except documenting what's there.
The Jersey barricades are still there. They didn't get put out last year, but they are still in. They're still sideways.
So where's the water district?
Water district.
So they head out. So we put those barricades up also for the water district because the well is there. So part of the redesign would be to maybe put in some bollards.
Oh, here we go. Here's Aaron.
Right. So we need to go ahead and probably close off Mary Jane and Trail Canyon above. You guys put up barricades.
The Jersey barriers are there. They're just this way instead of this way.
But we can talk about when. I mean, it's still passable right now, but pretty soon
it wasn't.
It won't be. So.
It wasn't when we got those 2 inches of ice.
So it's always
a good thing. People out.
So it's probably time, especially if the new snow coming this weekend. So potentially. Ray's going to give some other updates, but the last thing I wanted to say, which is a huge deal, so the district and partners, we did a nomination package for the Intermountain Region for a high-performing or high-excelling agency for fiscal year 22, and we won, and it's a list of all our employees, nonprofits, the county, metro, door, all of you guys, and the town that work so well with us, so really happy, and we're going to receive that award next Tuesday. Yeah. It makes you really look back and go, wow, it was a really busy year, so. Ray, before I bring him up to question
my microphone. Sure.
In your surveying, one thing that we floated years ago is to do a count of what actual parking exists, in, both in the snow play as well as here, and then limit who can come up during that time other than residents. Has anything come from that yet?
So, yeah, I mean, a couple things that are going on, and I didn't want to bring it all. I know this is a busy meeting. So we have talked with NDOT in their five-year planning, just in general on what improvements need to be made, right, to Kyle, the, whether it's expansion or survey. So I think that's in their five-year plan to look at the highways again, because clearly the people are coming with the developments there. So that's out there, and that's obviously their process, but we'll be there. We do know how many parking lots we have. We don't advertise it because it sometimes changes, so we actually debated that with the Winter Alliance, with the messaging, like, but because Metro and NHP are closing the highways, unless you have reservations, that's a big deal. And actually, not to speak for Lee Canyon, but, you know, they have the snowflake permit from the forest now in Lee Canyon to take over all of those sites, and they're going to a reservation system this year. So I think longer term, you know, with the county, with the meadow and our area, you know, is something we still need to plan in. But for the most part, our messaging is if you're not up here by 9 o'clock or you don't have a reservation on either highway, you're not. How are we going to make it? So it's moving in that direction, but we don't control the highways. So anyway, and then Ray, did well. Sorry, Donna.
Thank you for whoever cited the Christmas tree cutter.
Oh, yes.
And I'm trying to find out right now if that tree is still available, because I would love to donate it to somebody. It's a 12-foot high, 6-foot round. And
where was it? I didn't get that info.
Somebody illegally cut a Christmas tree.
Somebody
2 years ago. They caught him. Thank you, Metro, actually, for caught him. And we cited him, and I think it was like $1,200 in fines.
Were they just off the road, or did they go back?
I don't actually know where they cut it, but it was somebody that didn't know. And part of our signage needs to be in Spanish and other languages.
That's too.
You can cut them with a permit in other places.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is our firewood sale closed. You know, we have the wood that's $40 a cord. We normally don't reopen that after the holidays, but I'm thinking of, because we have a lot of really nice wood, that if there's demand, we could reopen that maybe in January.
Good evening, everybody. Coming up tonight, Ray Dombrowski, District Fire Management Officer. I work for Deb. So I've managed the suppression, prevention, and fuel program here on the Spring Mountains. And for folks that made it to this meeting, don't make it to the other meetings, I usually give an update of our stats, where we sit for the year, and some of the fuels and fire projects that we're working on. So year's not over, but we've had 20 fires. No fires in the last, since the last meeting. 20 fires on the district for a total of 6.15 acres. Most of those were from lightning fires. The breakup was 7 lightning fires, 13 human caused fires. We did also have, over the course of the year, about 18 abandoned campfires, and through our fire restrictions on the district, we had 109 illegal campfires that were dealt with over the course of the year. For the most part, fire season's obviously over. We have snow on the mountain, getting some moisture, cooler temperatures. So our fire program, our seasonal workforce has been laid off. Our longer duration employees are out doing fuels work. They're working on a fuels project over in Old Mill right now, getting ready to do another one down in a little farther south the ridge on that in Mud Springs, doing some fuels work so we can take some of our fuels projects and start connecting the dots.
Okay, so for somebody who doesn't know what a fuels project is, I'm sorry, we have all these people here, they need to know what you're talking about.
So fuels project means that we actually remove vegetation off the landscape.
Thank you.
So through a prescription, we work with our ologists to come up with a prescription, and then we implement it. And most of this work gets done into pile burn or pile building, and then we'll go back and do pile burns.
I know you're going to ask pile burning. We probably won't get to any pile burning until the middle of January at the earliest, but looking more prominently in February due to an agency 90-day moratorium on prescribed fire and having to rewrite burn plans. We are still in the process of finalizing our pile burn plan, but any pile burning that we do in the community here, we will do press releases and notify ahead of time with our Go Mount Charleston page, but also through our social media with the Humboldt Coyote. Any questions?
I think you did a good job. No questions. Okay, now a report from Nevada Energy. If we have any pisons coming up.
He's out in the hall.
There he is.
There he comes.
Great turnout. I love that.
Just for you.
I don't believe it. Hey, good evening. So my name is Scott Kaufman. I work with NV Energy in our system control area. So I see a lot of new faces. So just wanted to say thanks for coming out. I'll give some updates, kind of like I normally do, and we'll open it up to a few questions. First one, it is windy tonight.
Yes.
I haven't noticed.
No
pisong. We're not planning a pisong. Although we've already seen a gust of 71 miles an hour on Angel Peak.
Oh, wow.
So it's blowing out there, right? So luckily we've had some good moisture lately over the last month or so. So all good news, right? So I just want to share that. It's windy tonight. Get home safe after this is all over. Update since the last meeting, we have had two pisong events. There was an event October 22nd into the 23rd, and then there was an event November 1st into the 2nd. In both of those, it was the first time that we tried to set up a generator at the substation just a little down the road here. We called that our microgrid. Had a few hiccups the first time we tried to turn it on during that first event, but we ironed some of those out, and in our opinion, that microgrid went really, really well for both those events. So the plan is we will continue to do that. We're actually going to replace some switches, some fuses, and actually the generator that's up there now to get a slightly more permanent installation up there. The ones we're renting right now we're renting them. We're getting something just a little more permanent. But the idea is we will continue that practice for the next couple of years until the permanent rebuild happens, and I'll talk about that in a little while. There was also an unplanned outage. This was November 8th, roughly a 3-hour outage from about 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. We patrolled the whole thing. We did not find a cause for that outage. You guys might remember that was kind of the afternoon where that storm was actually coming in that brought all the good precipitation. So our facilities were still in what we called fire season mode at that point. So what that means is as soon as there is a single, even if it would be momentary, as soon as there's a single fault, everything shuts down and it does not try to re-energize itself. And again, right, we don't want it to try to re-energize itself in case things are still dry and it would have caused a fire. We were watching everything all day. We actually had plans based on the amount of precipitation that came in that night. We were pretty sure we were gonna go out of fire season the next morning, but unfortunately that outage happened right before we could do that. So 3-hour outage, but we have the next day on the 9th, we took all of our equipment out of fire season mode. So what that means is if there's a momentary outage, if there's an animal contact, if there's a branch that gets into our wires, you will momentarily lose power, the system will restore power, and if it truly was, you know, just something got into it quick and then fell down, power would be restored and it would stay on, right? So we'll stay in that mode. That's our normal operations until fire season kind of kicks off next spring, right? So let's hope we get a lot of moisture and hopefully, you know, start of fire season is pretty late next year. On the use of the generator, right? So I'll go back to the pisongs a little bit. During those events, there was a request from a few folks on just getting some more information, like some frequently asked questions on, hey, as residents up here, as customers, what can we do or what should we do to help make sure that generator setup is successful? So our corporate comm folks put together a list of questions and answers. I'll work with our folks to see the best way to deliver this. I don't know if it can be an email out to everybody or maybe it goes on the Facebook page or something like that. But We do have some questions, questions and answers. I'll summarize just one or two of them. We will plan to use them for all PSOM events. They would be hard to use for just normal outages, really because we have to mobilize several people up here on the mountain, right? We have to get our generator folks up here, our linemen folks up here. So that could take several hours, right? So if we think back to that November 8th event, the total outage was only 3 hours. So as opposed to taking those 3 hours and trying to turn on the generator, we want those folks patrolling the lines and actually restoring permanent power, right, as opposed to taking time and putting up a generator. If there was a very, very extended outage, many, many hours, 12, 24, 36 hours, the generator could be used in those cases. But honestly, we hope that doesn't happen. Right? The only thing we would ask is just kind of be conscientious with the appliances and everything that you are using. If you can refrain from using dishwashers and dishwashers, your clothes, washers and dryers and things like that, just kind of keep your usage to a minimum. It would certainly help that generator out. But no concrete things. We're not saying, you know, don't use any appliances. We're not saying unplug your refrigerators. You know, nothing like that. Use normal usage. Just try to conserve where you can. And so we'll see if we can get those questions out. Maybe we do it through the town board. We'll try to figure that out.
Okay.
What have we done over the last month or so? We continue to do vegetation management. So we've cut down many trees. Working with Forest Service on permits and what trees we can and can't take out and things like that. So we will continue to do that. The big one, and this is the last thing I have, so the permanent rebuild. We know that we want to come up and rebuild and really harden the facilities that are up here. We have made an application to the Public Utilities Commission of Nevada, so they're reviewing that right now. There's actually a hearing later this month where PUCN staff, Bureau of Consumer
PUC,
Protection.
Public Utilities Commission, continue.
What's that?
PUC. I'm just telling what acronyms are.
Oh, yes. Yeah, PUCN, Public Utilities Commission, Public Utility Commission of Nevada. So they will have a hearing. It'll be commission staff, the commissioners themselves, the staff, Bureau of Consumer Protection, and then any interveners, and they will comment on what we're calling our Second Amendment filing to our Natural Disaster Protection Plan. But what does that mean for you guys? That means we're going to build a brand new circuit from our northwest substation. That's the big substation right as you come off the highway. We're going to build a brand new circuit from there all the way up here to feed all of residential, commercial, everything up here. Probably going to be a combination of overhead and underground for those roughly 20 miles. Teams are already in design. They're already proactively working with permitting agencies to try to figure out the best place or places for that line. They are also proactively working to make sure we've got enough contractors in a couple of years, right? So we know that labor resources are strained right now, and so we want to make sure we've got enough excavation contractors so with that, when we're ready to go, we can just hit the ground running and get this all built. Construction is still likely a couple of years away, 2024, 2025 or so, but that can certainly change based on design, material, permitting requirements, and things like that. So we're certainly working. It'll take some time. And that is my report for today. So I guess questions from the board.
Hey, thank you, Scott. And, okay, we see Chris and then Donna.
It should all be underground. If you do a new piece, don't think do mix. And the new law for anybody that builds a home has to do underground, so why shouldn't?
All those things are under consideration, right?
Donna?
I think that's a great idea, bringing it up from that substation. That's a better solution.
Brand new substation. So you guys will be disconnected from Angel Peak, right?
Perfect.
So for anybody who isn't aware, just maybe 30 seconds here, you guys are served power from a substation down, a different substation down near the highway. It goes up over Angel Peak and then down into here. Everything that we've seen over the last several years is the highest of high winds are on Angel Peak, right? And so that's really why we have to do PSOMs for you guys here. Even if winds here are 35 or 40 miles an hour, they're 70 up on Angel Peak. So your service will be disconnected from Angel Peak. So even if we have to do a PSOM for those facilities up on Angel Peak, and that will be served, continue to be served from there, Everything down in the canyon will be from this new circuit.
Two things.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention, in the interim between the construction of the new line from the 95-157 interchange up to here, if there is a necessary PSOM event because of wind on Angel Peak, then this microgrid is the one that would be implemented.
Yes.
Until the new facility is brought up for the 95-157, correct?
Correct. Yep, we'll leave the generators up here, and yes, the plan will be microgrid until these facilities are in. Yep.
Okay, two things. One, I've heard from at least one resident about their bills going up. I know overall the bills are going up, but this individual's went way up. Can you at least tell people who they can call if they have concerns about their bills?
Yes.
This particular person's bill went up over $100 for, you know, like overnight, and nothing changed. The other thing I wanted to say is I really want to congratulate you on the microgrid. Even though it may have had some hiccups, that is the best thing you guys have done. And you deserve it.
Well, thank you. I will certainly pass that along to the team. There's a lot of people that put a lot of time and effort and expertise, people way smarter than me, figured out how to do that.
So it showed.
We'll pass that along.
It showed. And yes, our power was off and on, but I use my generator so much less, and propane's more expensive than electric right now, so I appreciated that.
You guys are very welcome. I do not have our customer service number memorized, so let me try to look that up. Because it's just going to be that. That's going to be your starting point.
Yeah.
Your starting point for any bill-related questions would be our customer service number.
No, she's just the.
You want Angel's number?
No.
Okay.
Really? Is it the 402-5555?
No.
It might be. Okay. Is that what you guys know? Yes. Use that. So.
402. I'm sorry. 702-402-5555.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Was there a second part of that question? Oh,
no.
So
two things. One was bill, and the other was congratulations.
Yeah. So energy prices are going to rise. I think there was actually a press release on this today. It's all due to natural gas prices throughout the country and the world. Those costs, any time we purchase fuel, either fuel to burn in generation plants or we purchase power from the market, those costs are passed along directly to customers, and I'm a customer too, one-to-one. So we do not earn a profit on any purchased power, including natural gas. So natural gas prices are going up, but NV Energy is not making any more money because of that. It's a one-to-one thing.
Okay, I got a question.
Yes?
You're talking about the underground line that would go down there up to here.
Yes.
Okay. How are you going to get it up here? I mean, there's a wash that goes between here and there. And we have poles, power poles, that are, I don't know why they're still standing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they look wobbly to me.
Yeah, all of that is being considered. So that's part of the reason why it's so complicated of a project. You know, how do we get here fully underground? Where do we go? When are we in the road, and when do we have to be outside of the roadway? All of those things are being looked at.
And there is a scenic byway for 13 of those miles.
There is, and part of it is through the Red Rock Conservation Area. So there's a lot of things that are going to have to go into this. And they're looking at all those, trying to figure out the right answers.
Okay, thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And now report from our administrative services, our county liaison, Megan.
Okay. So, on October 18th, the Board of County Commissioners made the decision about how we're going to plow on Yellow Pine in Old Town. Per NRS 244.273, we are allowed to plow if the Board of County Commissioners deems it's necessary. So with that, for emergency purposes, so citing that, they decided to, it'll be plowed on school days when school is in session to provide access to the school. So that decision was made, like I said, at the Board of County Commissioners on October 18th. there were questions about the resurfacing of the roads. Commissioner Miller and I met with Dennis Cederberg. Sorry, I've had a long day. So with Dennis Cederberg, and there are fuel. There's a fuel tax fund for the mountain. Some work will be done in one of the subdivisions. They're looking to see which one needs the most work, and that's the one.
They I don't have money. They need to send the message back. They have the money.
Okay, well,
all subdivisions need to be redone.
Okay. So that's, will come up. They can't do it when it's cold, so it'll be in the spring. And then one thing, since we didn't have a meeting, we usually talk about budget requests this time of year, and this is not a shopping list. This is a wish list. If there were a budget that came up, if there were some money, what would you guys like to see as far as capital improvements in the area? So we usually make a big two-meeting thing about this. I'm going to try to keep it short since we have a lot more important things to talk about. So the things that have been requested before are new fire stations in Kyle and Lee, a community center, and maybe a fire station community center building together, baseball fields and tennis courts. These are the things that have been requested before. You guys requested these are not my list. Anyway, those are things that have been asked for in the past. Are there any things that anybody can think of that you'd like to see as improvements?
The resurfacing of roads can't come from this.
That's not a capital expenditure. This would be a building.
Brick and mortar.
Capital expenditure. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is brick and mortar, but how are things progressing with the bollards in front of the mailboxes of that?
Yeah.
I do not have an update on that.
That's a solid thing.
Yeah, but that's not a budget request thing. That's a whose responsibility is it? Who's going to do it?
So could we have a building that housed a bunch of asphalt and the guys that can come fill in potholes? I was going to say a building. So it would be brick and mortar that had, Quonset hut with the...
Okay. Well, I will tell you that there are only three patch trucks to fill potholes for the entire county, and two of them are not working right now. So potholes aren't going to get filled right now.
Okay. So can we have on our agenda next time to have Public Works maybe come out and explain the process on, resurfacing the roads, if it's like every 3 years or just as needed?
Well, I'd explained that last meeting,
okay,
but
I'm sorry,
there is a, and I want to get a tour of this. There is a vehicle truck. I'm imagining it's like a garbage truck. I don't know, but it's a big computer and it drives all around Clark County. It drives every lane and every mile of every road in Clark County and reads the road. And it determines, how many alligator guts there are, how many patches there are, the density, all of that stuff, so that it's an objective measure of every road in Clark County against every other road in Clark County.
Right.
And so that's how it's determined which roads take priority.
Sure.
And just so you know, every single town I go to says their roads are the worst, and last night Red Rock said their roads are worse than yours. So I think you guys should duke it out.
am I guessing that part of that decision?
I'll walk them and I'll get them in my car. We can just drive the ones and all that stuff. So he at least knows what we're talking about. And I appreciate the truck, and they do measurements of fair, poured, whatever. And we were told ours are only fair. We've not been resurfaced, what, folks? Seven?
The water
years? It's been a while. And there was a regular time, and it wasn't just the fuel tax money from Mount Charleston that they used for it. So we're going to ask for an agenda item, have the commissioner come up and talk to us about it. He can tour it too. And we want to make sure that we see the cycle of documentation of what's been done up here for road resurfacing in the last 10 years.
Because there are some potholes on Yellow Pine that are getting so big, soon they're going to be...
We do not take care of Yellow Pine. Yellow Pine's a private road, so if you want those taken care of, that's a private matter.
But I have a picture of some of the ones in Echo for you.
Well, I can show...
Okay, we all can have those.
Like I said, everyone thinks their roads are worse. I've got potholes the size of pizza pans this deep when I drive home. So we all have to deal with potholes.
Do they take into consideration, like... like when I wanted to get a crosswalk for my kids, they had to be so many cars per hour. Do they look at the
Absolutely.
How many cars go on that road? Is that factored into the formula?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And how many school buses, you know, go up and down?
Okay, I just wondered what the formula was.
Can you find out when that special garbage truck-looking thing has been up here? And when it's done each of the neighborhoods up here? That would be nice. And the other thing is, are the fire station and the tennis courts and all that still in the budget plan? Or do we have to re-release?
Let me be clear, this is not a budget plan.
It's a wish list.
This is a wish there was money, these would be nice.
Megan, have you ever had anything out of that fund?
I have.
Okay, let's give her our attention.
So, as I've told you every year past, I hate this process because it makes these, you know, unrealistic ideas. But the things that I've gotten were very workable and not always exactly what was asked for. In Good Springs, they had a couple roads that were not paved, had never been paved. They were very dusty. They asked for them to be paved. There wasn't the funding to pave them, but they were tearing up other roads. They brought out the millings, packed it down, and that was a great solution. So that is something. Indian Springs is getting some stuff in their park through a SNPLMA grant, so it wasn't because of this. This is more just to inform the departments of what your thoughts are.
Could we have a park?
I don't think we've ever got anything. I've been on this board over 20 years. I don't think we've ever got anything.
Could we put in a request for a park?
Well, getting a park would probably be about as hard as getting a fire station.
Okay.
Where are we going to put it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's part of the challenge up here.
Yeah.
There is not a lot of, there's tons of public land and no public land, you know, for something like this. So that's the challenge. But this is exactly why I said we shouldn't do this process this way, because I'd rather come to you and say, we got $2 million, what do you want to do? I would much rather do it that way.
Yeah.
Thank
but,
you.
This is how we do it, so I have to do it every year, because I got in trouble for not doing it. So those are the things we have.
Yeah.
It's not a reason to not ask for things because you didn't get them.
So we keep the same thing on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unless there's something else specific.
Yeah.
Yes.
You were talking about supposedly round figures of capital investments,
mm-hmm.
improvements. You just mentioned Yellow Pine is a private road.
Mm-hmm.
Use a capital investment for the county to take that road over.
We tried. We tried, and not everybody would agree to it.
Okay,
we tried on multiple occasions.
Why wouldn't somebody allow the county to take over it so the road could be repaired?
Because
it's deeded to them, is that why?
Not an agenda.
It's not deeded to them. It's never been a public road. Never once, ever has it been a public road. It's been a private property from day one.
Somewhere about
and there's nothing in there that since he has the road he has to or they have to maintain it.
Old Town is an unrecorded subdivision, so there are no rules. It's
CC&R.
Not even a recorded. It's not even recorded. So there's no CC&Rs. There's no anything.
I pay property taxes. How come I pay property taxes?
Well, if you lived in a private subdivision in Las Vegas with a private road, you still pay property taxes because you take care of your own road. It's a private road.
We can all.
Yep.
So, Megan, if there's a holdout, so they wouldn't do a Schreiner Larry work on that, trying to do a trade.
It's been tried multiple times.
We've tried to give them roads.
Yes.
They won't take it.
They won't take
that's,
it. They wouldn't.
That's not accurate.
That is accurate. No,
don't say that.
No, the county tried to take it.
We tried. Yes, we tried.
But could we go back and request another agenda item for them to reconsider whether or not to plow? We have elderly folks up there. Rosie's still on oxygen.
And that's understood.
And I understand that, but none of us were informed to come down and argue why we think they should snow plow that street.
Well, we didn't have a quorum. I was going to share it at that meeting. I did email the whole board and tell them that it was on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
It's a public meeting just like anything else. So it's not a matter of whether we want to or not. It's a private road.
But if there's a fire issue or a medical issue, there is a responsibility that I think then the county becomes liable if people can't get ingress or
okay. Well, we've met with the DAs. We've argued this every which way. We looked at every option. Listen, I have to. That's the system I have to work within.
Then let us come back tell the commissioner we'd like another agenda item just to reconsider that and have people come down and testify. And
I've been working on this for 3 years. We've talked about it ad nauseum here. We've met with the DA on multiple different occasions. We have come at it with two different DAs, DA before, now the DA this time. And this was the best option.
Legally, they can plow out of private if they deem that there's a need.
Right.
So the need is emergency medical care and fire.
Okay, well, that wasn't the decision that was made, and...
Could you ask that they reconsider it, put it on an agenda item, let us come down and argue with you?
Well, it was an agenda item, and not one person showed up.
Who knew?
I didn't know about it.
Yeah. Well, jealous.
So I'll ask, but I can say that we have tried and tried in every which way.
The board has requested, and the constituents up here have requested for a reconsideration on that matter. Larry Brown was able to do it. Ross Miller can do it.
Thank you.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I want to move on from this just because we have so much more on the agenda. If that's all right with everybody, because I know we have a lot of people here that wants to.
Are we moving past Megan?
No, just from that one issue, because I think she has what our request is.
No, I still have questions.
Okay. Well, ask your question.
Okay, about 3 years ago, I asked that county commissioner come up here and talk to us about things, including this. Never happened. Now he's going to do it. That doesn't really sound right.
Well, 3 years ago, he was not the commissioner. Yeah. He hasn't been the commissioner for 2 years yet.
So he will come up.
I have asked. He has, he has a busy schedule. I don't make his schedule. I'm here every single month answering your questions.
But was that meeting a commission meeting, or was it a planning?
It was a commission meeting.
It was a commission
meeting. It was a commission business meeting on October
8th. And how did our commissioner vote on that?
Well, it was a unanimous vote in support of what Dennis Cederberg had put forward.
Mm-hmm. And this is a new board, so, what happened in the past is... might not be what happens with this new board.
Then perhaps a request would be made to the commissioner's office, because that's not Megan's role, that's Mary Ann's, who's assistant for
right.
scheduling, and make a request for the commissioner to come up here and have a meet with the neighbor.
Well, at least you have a squeak out of the guy. I mean,
Okay, let's...
A squeak. I like that.
All right.
Of the 19 town boards throughout Clark County, I'll bet you can count on one hand how many have a commissioner come to them.
And that's not a reason, though. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, it's not that you're being singled out as being left out, is what I'm saying. That's not the role of the commissioner.
There's still a reason for them not to come to the town. We're part of their constituency, whether they like it or not.
Maybe right into it.
Before you can tell everybody that the commissioners have forgotten about us.
No.
The commissioners have not forgotten about
equally
you.
Equally to everybody.
equally.
Believe. Okay. Ask him if he's forgotten about you, because I'm in his office all the time talking about things that go on here. So believe okay. me, he
right.
is not allowed. To
Let's stop
okay, we have a question. Mega. Yeah, we have a
Going
question
back to
here.
The road. Right now, it's approved in the schools and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And 4 inches.
Yeah, okay. So school, you can go to school during Christmas break. If the school's holding a session paid for by the citizens, a kids camp for an hour, does that qualify as in session?
No, it's when CCSD is in session. And I will tell you, if it weren't for the school, we wouldn't plow it at all.
Okay.
Right.
At all.
Looking for a loophole.
So, you can, I would say the best option is pull together like you would on any other private street anywhere in Clark County, and hire someone to take care of it. Mm-hmm.
Megan has asked them.
That's what we
do. Private. I'm trying to remember, are all of them in Old Town private?
Yes.
Yes.
All private. Mm-hmm. And we're not doing anything on that.
They used to. I think that's part of the problem is they always did it until this war broke out between the one gentleman and whatever.
Yeah.
And yet the county always did it. Regretfully sometimes.
Very regretfully. We've had shotguns pulled on our drivers. I mean, it's...
I know, but hey.
Well, when we're doing a favor and we get sued every year by multiple residents because they don't like how we plow, and I, honest to goodness, when decisions are made, those things come into play. When the safety of your staff is at risk, it's a concern.
Maybe people would change now because they're seeing the consequences.
We've been discussing this for about 3 years,
easily.
And it got almost worse than ever last year. We don't even have drivers that want to do it. They have to be assigned to come up here and do it. It's not a fun job for them. They hate it. They're abused all the winter long.
I thought the bad part of the job is the holes in the street.
That's a concern, and we have no power to fix the street. Mm-hmm. NRS only allows snow plowing. That's it.
Let's move it along.
Yeah, we need to move on.
Yeah.
Anything
okay, are
else?
There any other?
Do you have any
budget requests?
Oh, thank you for remembering where we were. Can we keep the ones we have?
Yeah, just leave it as is.
Yeah.
Anyone have anything else they would like to
add?
A football stadium? That would make money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Stadium.
More traffic.
Oh, what right. The night of a stadium.
No. Okay. Thank you, Megan.
Thanks, Megan, for what you have to endure.
Done? I have a question, Megan. Sorry. NDOT's not here, correct?
No.
Okay, so my next two questions for NDOT, and I'm still trying to figure out what they're going to do or what they're going to do. When are they going to fix where the last truck ran off the road at the bottom of the hill?
I need some more specifics. I don't know what you're talking about.
The runaway truck.
The last runaway truck we have, you know, when they tried to make the curve and they ran off the brakes. I don't want to say whose house they were working on, but I think I know whose house it was.
All the way at the 95?
Yeah.
Right where you make the right turn to go up the ramp.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
skidded across.
You can't miss it because it's got all the crap laying all over the place.
Yeah.
And then, if it's daylight. And then I noticed I guess right before the curves coming up the hill, they're leveling, if you can call it leveling, the land, and they're getting rid of the brush and just leaving dirt, and I'm not quite sure what for.
Can we request NDOT to just give you a report if they're not going to come up, that we could at least have a written report?
When I have specific things.
I can speak to the grading on the side of the road.
Okay.
Thank you,
Matt.
So they're...
Get in here.
Yay. You can't leave us.
Everyone ignore the vodka I've got in this cup.
Yeah.
Hope he brought enough for everybody.
No.
You don't drink vodka, you drink wine.
That's your good side. Oh, so NDOT's they're just clearing the brush away from the sides of the road, mostly to prevent, so that people can see the animal, the burros standing on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. Kind of camouflage right there, and they don't want them eating right on the side of the road. So it's kind of a safety issue for that. I don't know if they're going to end up smoothing it out at all, but that the initial grading of that is just to remove the shrubbery on the side of the road.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay, moving on.
There you go. I count that as getting a year.
Okay, moving on.
Okay.
I'm not burned yet.
Zoning issues. All right.
Are we all okay?
No.
Okay.
Don's having it.
Moving on. And planning and zoning, and as I'm sure this is not an action item, these are just... Well, it wasn't under general business. I think
because it's planning and zoning.
Okay. We'll vote on this.
So we can vote. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I always want it there.
Well, that's not how it works.
I know. I want it as a, like, ABC under planning, general business. Okay, the first item up, and do we have someone that's speaking for this? And there he jumps up. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. On the UC220584 Mount Charleston Investment LLC use permit. And before you start, I do want to clarify, because we have the neighbor. This is why I'm confused. The neighborhood
separate
meeting afterward, that's separate and not an action item.
Right. It's just
but they're not discussing any of that.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Thank you.
Separate item. But you need to read the items.
Oh, I did.
Read it into the record.
To allow temporary outdoor commercial events to exceed the permitted timeframes per table 34.4-1, but
we don't have that.
We don't have that.
Tony's going to talk about
it. Just keep reading the item, please.
Read all of it.
Waiver of develop. I thought he was going to go one at a time. Waiver of development standards to allow a fabric membrane structure, tent, and additional temporary structures where permanent enclosed building is required per section 34.4.005. Design review for temporary outdoor commercial event facility on 4.1 acres in an RU rural open land zone, generally located on the south side of Kyle Canyon Road, 723 feet east of Knotty Pine Way within Mount Charleston. R.M. Judsip for possible action.
Good job.
Possible.
Take it away.
Yes. Good evening, Madam Chair, Town Board members. My name is Tony Sless. Address 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here on behalf of the applicant. As mentioned, I'm going to limit this portion just to our special event requests, and then, as I understand, once this meeting closes, we'll go into the neighborhood meeting, and I will address the more, you know, grander permanent plans that we are proposing. So first, like I said, I'm going to limit it to just our special event request. I have an aerial here. I always think it's good to start off with where we are, even though I know you guys know the mountain better than anyone, and where the lodge property is located, but we're here on Kyle Canyon Road, just over an acre. It is the location of the lodge. If you remember this past summer, they did their pine dining experience under the special event permit. So what we're asking is to have more flexibility under the code. The code allows essentially one consecutive 10-day period any month to do a special event permit, and a maximum of 12, you know, in a year. We are asking to have the flexibility to be able to do them, not necessarily in 10 consecutive days, but time periods during, really any time period during the month. They'll still probably predominantly be during the weekends, early afternoon, evenings. But that is what we're asking to do instead of just being limited to that 10 consecutive day period. So you have seen, I think, probably the structure up there, but here is our site plan. Right here in the middle is the tent area. It's about 3,400 square feet in the membrane structure. That is about 24 feet in height. We have wrapped around on three sides of it outdoor dining space. We have some green area, turf area. We have our portable kitchen trailer here. And then the blue signifies the parking that we're going to be providing. We'll be providing 80-something parking spaces, where only 34 are required. So we'll be well parked. You can see access to the site coming in off of Kyle Canyon here. We do have the elevation of the structure located right here. We appreciate staff's favorable recommendation, agree to their one-year review. But really, like I said, this is to allow us to continue doing kind of what we started this summer in the interim until we can hopefully reestablish the lodge and, like I said, kind of get into those details of what we're potentially thinking about proposing after this meeting. But with that, I'm more than happy to answer questions.
Okay, I'd like to.
Yes.
What do you know what the, you said it's just under an acre, and is that the original acreage that was under the land use and zoning for that property?
It's for, so it included, so we, the staff report shows 4 acres. That includes the cabin property and this property, so it's, I guess, maybe 2 acres. It's just the lodge property, so.
1.86,
okay. Yeah. But yes, the staff write-up, I think, because the way the business licenses are on both of them, asked us to include both properties.
Right. And, so, you're asking to extend the permit indefinitely, or can that, is that something that can go to end, you know, have an ending date, like when construction starts? How is that going to mesh when
yeah.
construction on the building is proposed to start and you have events scheduled or something?
Yeah, so two answers to that. One is there is a condition of approval if the board's so inclined to approve, requiring us to come back for a one-year review. So we'll be back here December of next year to give a status update if we hadn't, you know, but if we've started construction prior to that, then yeah, at some point this use would cease so that construction could start. So we are asking for, I guess, at a minimum, a one-year approval and come back and report back to you.
I think why there's so many people here, part of the fear is that, is it more economical for Ellis to keep this temporary structure and that becomes permanent? And the lodge was so important in all our lives and in this community. And the special events were really great. I helped out with some of the, you know, volunteering there. But obviously that was more geared to bringing the town up to here. And if this, the new events are going to be the same, like the fine dining,
right.
too, or open when I see for breakfast, lunch, dinner, is that for the general public or is that for the special type of
events? It'll be more geared towards special events, but I think certainly the ability to have it open to the public. But to address your question about the permanency of it, it is designed to be temporary, and that's why I think it's important that condition that we have to come back for a year review so that you have the ability to review and say, hey, this is looking more permanent, we don't like this anymore, it's time to build a permanent structure.
So I think
months or...
Because it was last September, so it's been over a year already that we haven't had the lodge. And
that
so when we think that a year review would be in December now, and that would mean no construction had started on the lodge, I think that, don't you think that we would want to see?
Chances are they are not going to have permits in a year.
Really?
Really.
So, wow.
So let me let me give a just kind of a outline of when we come in for land use and zoning
okay.
on a permanent structure.
Okay.
It is going to take us probably 6 to 8 months just to go through the public hearing from the time of submittal. We haven't submitted anything because we wanted to first share our plans with the community because mm-hmm. we have not submitted anything. From the time of submittal, coordinating with planning and public works, comments coming back and forth, mm-hmm. it'll probably be 4 months, maybe
okay,
longer,
months.
Of just comments mm-hmm. coming back before we're even placed on an agenda.
Okay.
And then from there, we will be placed on an agenda for public hearing. We'll be back before you showing what it is exactly, what we submitted. The board will make its recommendation and be forwarded on to ultimately the Board of County Commissioners for decision. That process will probably take us 8 months from the time we actually make our submittal. So we haven't even submitted yet, so... Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To Megan's point,
okay.
next December would be highly
okay. Okay.
any permits issued.
All right. And I know there's other board members that have questions, and I think a lot of them are the same that I have here. So I know Misty has some, so I'd like
sure.
to turn it over to her.
Thank you. So that did answer some of them.
Okay.
I'm assuming that perhaps the Mount Charleston Cabins Association is this portion here.
That's correct.
That you explained? Okay,
yes.
That is in your...
Right.
Okay, so... As you mentioned, the lodge burned down. What exactly are you doing for fire mitigation? What's in place for the tent? Because it could burn up too. And I know that the lodge, I was told, did not have fire extinguishing sprinklers or notification systems or anything like that. So it's a big concern as for fire. I've got several other questions, but I'll start with that one.
Yeah, at least for on the anything permanent structure coming in, we'd be required to today's fire code. So that's
yeah. But what do you have now
thing.
For the tent?
Today we have, I think, fire suppression system. We have access. We have access to our own wells there for it. I don't. You know, we did have permits for all of this that did go through fire.
when we were hosting our temporary events. Even though it was, didn't come through public hearing, we went through our 10-day event, we still had to go through building and fire and safety, et cetera, before we could pull the permits to operate. So,
and currently you have no permits. That are valid right now. Everything has been closed or done or whatever. So there aren't any open permits or ones in using right now. And while we're talking about fire, who's your insurer?
I don't I may ask.
Swartz Manning.
I'm sorry?
Swartz Manning.
They're a broker.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And you also mentioned that you just went like to zoning and it didn't come here for the tent to go up in the first place. Can you tell us why that was and why it didn't come through us?
So, under the code, there is an ability to not have, you don't have to have public hearing for certain aspects. Under the development code, allows you to go right to permitting. Maybe in hindsight, we should have shared that with the community. Yeah.
I mean,
so
I've definitely got it from people in the city telling me, have you heard Klein Dining? I got no notification, not even a, hey, guys, come visit us.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So in hindsight, that might have been something to have done. But I hopefully, like I said, we're trying to go down the right path right now, which is why I'm at the conclusion of this meeting, want to share with some of the ideas of reestablishment.
I'm not asking about that. I'll talk about it.
Okay, I'm going to just interrupt just for a minute. Keep your thought, Misty.
Okay.
On that notification, because I know we have this meeting afterwards, and hardly anyone got that flyer. And so I want to know, what is your notification requirements?
So this right here was, I think, technically more of a voluntary neighborhood meeting, but we measured it under what would be considered a master plan update or non-conforming zone change, which is the largest notification range the county has. So that's 1,500 feet around the property. So we didn't just, you know, otherwise we're kind of picking an arbitrary number. So we're doing it based on, but we...
1,500 feet, I think, from here. I was going to say, are you in Old Town?
Yes.
And a lot of people, Old Town, you know, I'm getting all confused where we are. Cathedral, you got a flyer in Old Town? And I think some people in Cathedral, but a lot of people in Old Town didn't, and they're obviously within that.
So
just
like
to make sure.
Yeah, what I'd like to do at the beginning of the neighborhood meeting is probably maybe pass out a sign-in sheet. I can, for those that will, because I can go 2,500, 5,000 feet out. But
well, I just think
at some point,
the subdivisions in Kyle would be great.
Right,
yeah.
There's just limited subdivisions.
Well,
there's four subdivisions in the Kyle Canyon area.
In fairness,
and we would all like notifications because actually it's 2,500 feet of gaming. So whether you consider the tent to be an extension of the lodge, which had gaming, or the 1,500 feet, which doesn't, I'm not going to argue that one at this point, but it would be very easy to do. I mean, there's, 400, 500 homes, that's it? And, you know, it'd be very easy to put out.
I have no problem expanding our notification range at all. I'm with you.
Not
a no problem.
Are you good?
I've got five more.
Okay, let's take some from the the people in here.
Jeremy's got Santa.
Jeremy?
I think if I heard you correctly, you mentioned the use permits that you had for this temporary structure were reviewed by such agencies as fire and others. Is that correct?
Yes. So before we can pull a permit and get a temporary business license, it's got to be reviewed by various agencies from planning, even public works, building department, which under that is fire. So
not this fire department.
Clark County.
Sure.
Fire, yeah.
So my question is, the standards associated with that permit for the temporary structure, would they be the same as a permanent building structure?
No. There's two different things. There's one, if it's a structure, that would be 180 days. And then if we want to make it more permanent, so there's two different avenues. So we'll have to potentially go down... if it's greater than 180 days, getting a separate building permit for that. So they're two different building permits, as I understand it.
Okay. and associated sets of standards based on the time frame of the permit.
Correct, correct. Okay, based on the time frame of the structure being up, correct.
Okay, Mona, over here.
Hey there.
Hello.
So is this open to the public, and if not, why not?
It will be open to the public, yes, sorry.
So kidding. When you say it will be, when?
we go to this to Planning Commission on Tuesday night, December 6th. We then hopefully can get their approval. We'll get a notice of final, and hopefully it can be final action there. As soon as we get a notice of final action approval letter, which would be about 10 days later, we can then begin the process with licensing, and hopefully by the beginning of next January, February timeframe, be up and running on our events.
So that'll you're saying, but I thought this was for private events only, so how would it be?
So it doesn't matter if it's open to the public or private events, if you're going to have a special event, there is a mechanism under the code, as I mentioned, where you can do 10 consecutive days in a month. And basically, if you provide the proper back documentation with respect to your site plan, the elevations, et cetera, you can be issued that temporary permit and operate for those 10 days within that month only. We are asking for more flexibility to not only operate maybe more in 10 days, but not necessarily 10 consecutive days in a month. And because of that, it triggers a waiver of development standards in the code, which then triggers this public hearing. So that is what we're asking for, is flexibility to not necessarily operate in a 10 consecutive day pattern. We may be, you know, operating on the first Saturday, and then maybe the following Wednesday, and then a Saturday-Sunday combination.
Whatever
it would be. Yeah, we can basically choose our days instead of being limited to that 10 consecutive day time period.
Okay, back in the back.
But what you're also asking for is to be able to do more than 10 days. So
that is
conceivably
correct.
You could operate every single day. Is that what you're asking
that
for?
That is fair. Yes, that is conceivably possible.
And does operating every single day, when you say a special event, I'm thinking like the Pine Dining, but does being just open and letting residents and the public come up and have breakfast or lunch, is that is considered a special event, one of those consecutive days?
So that's where we're kind of, let me see if I can articulate it a little better, is today, if we did not want to go through this process and we wanted to open, I would be limited to 10 consecutive days, whether I'm doing a special event or some other type of event open to the public.
Okay.
Or if I want to have greater flexibility, I am now coming to this board asking for that greater flexibility. So I'm not confined to those 10 consecutive days.
For the neighborhood meeting.
Hey, Tony, just read your letter. Read your letter.
Okay.
Because they didn't get this.
Okay.
So they don't know. Please.
Yeah, okay. If you give me, it's not too long.
No, it's short.
If you'll give me a minute here to read, okay, say, please be advised our office represents Mount Charleston Investments, LLC, the applicant, in the above referenced matter, which is the request for the temporary special event. The property is located at 5355 and 5375 Kyle Canyon Road. The site is the location of the Mount Charleston Lodge that unfortunately lost the fire last year, as well as part of the Mount Charleston Lodge cabins. Recently, the applicant has been hosting monthly temporary outdoor commercial events not exceeding 10 consecutive days for the months of July, August, September, and October of 2022 on the site while the applicant has been designing the new Mount Charleston Lodge. Because the applicant would like to continue hosting several more events on the site, the applicant is requesting a, and I put in quotations, a blanket or permanent use permit for temporary events. The events will include the chef's cookout, but also events such as breakfast, lunch services, wine, dinner tastings, food and beverage, both alcohol and non-alcoholic, course dinners, weddings, holiday events, and corporate events. The event sizes would range from 100 people to a maximum of 250. The general hours of operation would be between 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And for private events, the hours of operation would be between 12 p.m. and 8 p.m. However, the time frames could vary past 8 p.m. hour on occasion. There is still an active business license on the site. As part of the special use permit request, the applicant is also requesting a design review for the site with a waiver to allow the fabricated membrane structure or tent in lieu of a permanent building. property is accessible from, typo there, from Kyle Canyon Road. The tent, located in the middle of the site, from a temporary patio wrapped around the tent's north, west, and south elevations. The tent is approximately 24 feet in height, with dimensions 51 feet by 67 feet, or approximately 3,428 square feet. There will be additional outdoor seating located on the west side of the tent. There will be a portable food trailer located on the east side of the tent where the food will be prepared. The temporary structure complies with all setback requirements. The site will provide 82 on-site parking spaces in addition to the on-site parking. For select larger events, the applicant will offer shuttle transportation between Las Vegas and the site. Finally, signage is not part of the application, and we appreciate your time.
If I could rephrase her question. She wants to know, mm-hmm. do you have to make reservations and pay in advance, or can you just walk in the door? Is it going to be like a restaurant? I think that's what Mona's getting at.
We have not decided on the business plan, but maybe we've got important input here too.
Speak on behalf of everybody here. That's why I'm here. Yes. I don't go to these meetings.
Why everybody?
A lot of these people were homeowners. We have been here for years and years and years. And that lodge was our place where we would gather. Mm-hmm. That place where we had memories. We have so many things going on. So instead of going in circles and you're saying the same thing, we're asking the same thing, we want to know, when can we walk into the place and enjoy a cup of coffee or a hamburger, some french fries, or a beer? Amen.
All right.
Charleston coffee.
Yeah. A nutty Irishman.
Yeah.
Well, so ownership is here. They've heard that, so we can definitely... I do not have the operational details right now, but... I think it's comforting to hear that there's a demand from the mountain, from people that live here that want to attend.
That was our only place to eat on the hotel.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. I think this is good news for our.
And Mona really hit the nail on the head. Yeah. That lodge, I don't know if Thomas is still here.
He's here.
That was our one place that we really gathered and met up Friday. Poor Rosie, I don't think, has had her martini up at the bar since the fire. And I think what is scaring people when you read the line that in lieu of a permanent structure.
Temporary, though, correct. Yes, okay.
If you want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, so that's in order to, again, to have this more expanded flexibility I'm asking for, you would generally need a permanent structure. So this is temporary, so that's why we are asking to waive the permanent structure at this time. But I want to emphasize we're more than happy. We want to come back on a review because this is not meant to be ultimately permanent to your initial point. So we can come back, provide a status update, and hopefully by then, see some plans as far as where we are in the development of the law, reestablishing the lodge.
Okay, I've got Donna, Vivian, then Ernie. And then I have Amy in the back.
And you got another one there, and you got me.
Okay.
Well, check all the publics first, and then we can come back.
Okay, so Donna.
Thank you. She's been holding her arm.
That's all right. My question is, given the fact that the fire happened and there was no monitoring, I understand you weren't required to by code, but because there was no monitoring or alarm system, don't you think it'd be a good idea to have that site alarmed? Also, if you're going to use shuttles, you need to have a permanent spot to park them. Not on Yellowpine.
Mm-hmm.
And those are my comments on the plan.
Okay. To address your comment about eyes on the property, so to speak, we do have now management here that does, or on the, sorry, the cabins to
so
monitor what's going on.
So you're saying you have 24-hour fire watch, is what you're telling me?
I wouldn't know if I'd characterize it as fire watch, but we do have surveillance on
fire
there.
Tours,
right?
Yeah.
Documented fire tours.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what you're saying.
We have
somebody walks around every hour and says there's no fire.
No
fire.
Okay.
Well,
I don't want to miss. I do not know that, but we do have surveillance
on it. I don't know the as far as the logging.
Doesn't sound like.
Can you get us that surveillance and send it to us, please?
I can certainly ask for.
Okay, and okay, Vivian.
And the shuttles, the shuttle parking.
Yeah, I heard you. Yes.
Okay. So, pertaining to you, you wrote this the letter that you just read, sir.
I did write it.
Okay, so you tell me there's still an active business license for the lodge. I looked it up today, and it is out of business, and there is no license. There is for the cabin,
or
not the lodge, according to the county website.
Right. For the cabin's correct.
Not the lodge.
For the cabin's correct, yes.
Right, that's not what your letter says.
Sure.
I'm just pointing that out. It would be helpful to have blueprints instead of pictures so that I could look at measurements and that kind of thing. I'm still trying to envision where 18 parking spots are going to go, and I can't quite visualize it in my head. So I think blueprints would be helpful. And then I didn't know we had special use permits, and so where are special use permits found on the county page, because they're not with the rest of the permits, so
you
that
go
I can review those.
To Title 30.44, that is the,
that's the code.
Use mm-hmm. title, yes, development code, which is Title 30 of the Clark mm-hmm. County Code. 0.44 is the use section, and then it is...
But that's not
that
where I go
use.
To look for permits on the property. That's
so,
under that.
So there's special. So I'm seeking a special use permit,
right.
Land use zoning. That then, if I get land use approval, I can go to business licensing at that point in time. And
I just would like to just interrupt briefly.
Okay.
I do have a copy. The lodge restaurant license is issued, and it's effective until 3/31 of 23.
Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas.
Good, because it's not
okay.
What's on
there. They're late in inputting the information.
Well,
Amy.
Hey, I can't help that.
Yeah.
So the last
okay,
permit
sorry.
I have for the lodge area is from July. So I don't know where to go get the...
This isn't a building permit. This is a land use application, just like a zone change or a waiver.
No, but they still had to have a permit to put the tin in.
Right,
and I should
be able
to review that permit.
We were issued building permits for each time we held.
But where are they if they're not under this place that I go on the county website to look at everybody's permits?
Maybe under a fire permit,
but they have to have something beyond fire permits.
Special use.
So I did look it up.
Like
I don't.
Our restaurants are under Clark County business licensing, but the special use permits are under a different division.
Well, I can tell you, they have every permit they're supposed to have. We made sure
of
that, right, Tony?
Yes,
I even gave him a hard time and made sure he had everything.
Well, we had
but I can't read them, and that nobody
okay.
seems to be able to tell me where they are.
Okay, can we have someone find that out and get that back to Vivian? Thank you.
Because I mean, I go look for permits all the time, and I don't see them anything there.
Okay.
And I do know that. They did not do anything, I can't quite say it that way. They neither confirmed nor denied any lightning protection for the public. So I am interested in fire, water usage, the tent withstanding the snow load, all of that stuff, and I can't see those permits, and they should have already done that.
Okay, and we're going to get that to you, Megan. I think it's starting even now, looking that up.
Right,
and we're going to go to Amy.
Yeah. Donna covered it with the driving on Yellow Pine on the private road. I don't know if they had to get permission to drive shuttles since it's such a big deal that it's private. And if it's if we have a lot of snow, how are they going to get down Yellow Pine if they're not going to plow it?
Okay, sorry. Over
here.
I'm
Dan Cheney.
Right here.
Dan Cheney. I live on Old Park in Cathedral, just right down the road. I would just ask if you could have security, maybe Gatwick Metro and MVP, just to kind of patrol those neighborhoods. We get a lot of foot traffic through there. With the shuttles, we don't get a lot of extra vehicle traffic, but we get a lot of foot traffic in those events. And I would just ask, if you could do that, I would appreciate it.
I have a few more questions.
Okay, we'll go to...
Okay, here. I've got like 5 questions left. I promise I'll be as fast as I can. All right, so what are you doing for septic?
So much
please
for my request.
Your rest facilities. Who empties
no
it? And where exactly on the property is the old septic for the burned lodge?
Does...
You're not going to be able to answer that.
Yeah. I'm going to defer to my engineer
okay.
for a second.
Or Thomas might know.
That's why I made sure to bring certain team members up that can speak.
That's fine.
Chris Thompson, 500 South Rancho, Suite 17, civil engineer, RCI Engineering. Okay, so question one was the septic, the existing septic. It's about in this area.
Okay, under the parking lot.
Under the parking lot.
Which is not code.
Continue. It's not paved.
It's not paved.
So it's parking under, so it's still okay. We can't landscape over it either, so. That second question was the existing toilet facilities or the facilities in there. Those are pumped, they're portable facilities. So those are taken care of and maintained after functions are pumped and cleaned and taken care of. So the next group that comes in
they're actually very nice.
Fresh toilets.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Next question.
And so it's like a trailer or
it's exactly
yeah,
like
it's a trailer.
Yeah. Does it have running water?
It does, yes.
It does.
And
okay.
it's ADA
plumbed,
access.
Plumbed to the water from the
kitchen
the
trailer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the next one?
It's right. The orange. The
red.
Orange.
Mm-hmm.
Sits off the backside.
Okay.
And similar, it's water from the lodge.
Does it have any fire suppression or?
Yes, okay. It has a full ANSEL system and extinguishers.
Thank you. Ernie's going to ask some questions and I'll come back and finish up.
Okay, Ernie?
I think the big thing we need to look at here, instead of the minutia, because they have to get all required permits for health, safety,
right.
and welfare of the general public, is that Tony's essentially asking us on behalf of the owners to trust them for a year and to be good citizens. Now, the fact that they can't possibly get permits by next spring and build in April and in 3 months so I can have a toast at Christmas of next year pains me because there was no bigger fan of partying at the old lodge than Ernie Pizarro. lots of witnesses here. That being said, I, as one voting member of this entity, want to do anything I can to help Ellis Island and their LLC get open as soon as possible. That's the plus side. The bottom side is I don't want Gary and his group and Tony and his group to use this as a reason not to build the lodge, because in good faith, yeah, you're legitimate.
Have a Bible?
Excuse me?
You have a Bible?
No, I'm just saying what I would trust. You know?
Exactly how you get it built back.
That being said, I've known this guy for 1,000 years. He's not lying to anybody. I will vote for all these approvals for 1 year. But don't come back next year when you haven't shown any good faith and haven't gone in for a building permit and expect me to be as friendly and as gregarious as I am now.
They can't submit for building permit until they have land use approval.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly...
Right.
And the land use is different, so you still...
Right, yeah.
It's not minutia, though.
No. The questions here of sewage and septic tank and the stuff
you
for
have
now.
An obligation. You think that the Clark County Fire...
I'm not here to argue with you, Chris. I have the questions.
They don't involve
You're welcome. I'm talking to Tony. I'm voting in favor of all of this. Let them answer all their questions you can.
Absolutely.
But this is just one step.
And that, well, really well said, because we want you guys to know that you guys are important to us, so we want you to build up here again.
Absolutely.
So we get tied up in minutia sometimes, and that's a great point to make. I would only add to that, if you could figure a way out to open that thing up Tuesdays and Wednesdays for locals from 8 to 1 so we can have our Mount Charles and puppies, I think everybody would love you.
Put it in the condition.
we're here to help you get it done.
So, yeah,
Friday night
together.
But yes, we're doing this.
Okay, I'm done.
Get back to the minutia.
There's one more big one that I have that came from these guys, and that was that when you started the tent, you had a generator that went all the time and echoed off the canyon walls. What are you doing to keep the noise levels down for the residents that live around?
So we have power. We're going to use power. We have access to NV Energy power. Generators are there for backup.
Can I just interject, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know, we put those up in understanding once we heard from the community. We put those up just because all those reasons you asked before about fire and safe. That was to keep the property safe, keep the locals safe. That was part of the solution we came up with to provide safety to the surrounding area. Mm-hmm. Once we determined what an interruption it was to all your lives, we eliminated it as quickly as possible and then still tried to keep safety and soundness to the property as well as the surrounding area for the community.
And the community appreciates that, but we're going forward and I want to make sure we don't go backwards.
We
and so that's why I'm asking the questions because it came from...
And right. One right there.
I have a question. So is this going to delay the start of the new line?
No, it's
going to
speed it up.
No.
Okay. When are we going to see those plans? I mean, you have to
have
lots of
right
time.
After.
Right after this.
You have to wait a few more minutes.
Okay.
10 more minutes.
So the time is not changing as far as that building or that.
This approval of this will have no impact on us moving forward.
In other words, just sitting empty and doing nothing until you finally get approval to build.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
right.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you
just said
that.
Peaceful. That's his question.
Okay. Okay.
Let's forward.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Okay,
I'd like to make a motion on agenda item 6, planning and zoning, for UC 220584 Mount Charleston Investments LLC use permit. I'm going to make a blanket motion, not on each individual. Also, waiver of development standards to allow the fabric structure. And for their design review to allow for a temporary outdoor commercial event on 4.1 acres. I'd like to move for approval on these with a hard date of...
December 1st, 23.
I will accept that. December 1st, 23. And as an aside, you've heard what I said previously. Make progress.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Is there any further discussion on the motion on the floor?
No, I think everything's fine.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you. All right. I'll hang out until it's time to make
it. Yeah, be ready to.
Okay, general business, we have none. Now is the time for comments from the general public on items that are not on the agenda. Now would be the time to speak in the back.
We have horses up here. And our
identify yourself for the record, sir.
Oh, yes. And
my name is Ron Klein. I live on Yellow Pine. And we start with 2 horses. We have 7 horses now. And 3 have died. Is there any way we could gild those males? So we, because I'm saying in 10 years, there'll be 50 horses up here.
Here comes Forest Service.
Where's BLM?
I was going to say, go for it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Horses.
Go for it, Ron.
Did you hear Ron's question?
Okay.
We start with 2 horses. 3 have died. We have 7 horses now. In 5 years, we'll have 50 horses in Kyle Canyon.
Yes, so...
Do you see a problem with that?
With gelding the stuff.
So we did sign a decision, the Forest Service signed, and Bureau of Land Management, because the herds here are joint, right, on the Spring Mountains. I signed it August 1st, and it's a management plan. It's really the same management plan that we've had as far as the appropriate management level, as they call it, based on how many... Horses should be, and burros should be on the land in those areas based on springs and vegetation. And it's all back to 1976 levels. So it's not a change in those numbers, but it was just reestablishing that and adding in the potential that once we reach an appropriate management level in an area, that you would be able to do gathers for the purpose of gelding or neutering or whatever. But that's only after you reach that first level. It also lays out where horses should be and burros should be and where they shouldn't be. And technically, Kyle and Lee and Deer Creek are not in the historic herd management areas or in the forest term.
per territory. Unfortunately, we got a notice of intent to sue like 2 months ago, so we're in litigation on the plan. We will continue to do, because of the sterilization, even though that's actually in the 1976 law, says we will do that. So it's a sensitive subject. Anybody who knows, it's a very emotional subject. We all love animals, but they've got to be managed. So we will continue, if we need to gather for an emergency, if it's a health and human safety issue to either the animal or to the public. Right, so those happen, but as far as actually gathering and removing animals, we're in a standstill for months.
Okay, Chris, you did it last year with about 8 or 10 of them. You guys had it corralled on the.
Yeah, we did some, and like we had to do an emergency and not stir in the wilderness because there was no water. You know, so I mean, there's times we do it, or if we have to put an animal down, we do because we know they're. We actually brought that up to do the assessment. Mm-hmm. And
we have a general.
Yeah. In the back, I can't see who it is.
Your name, please?
Janet Granger.
And your subdivision?
Not a client. Cathedral Rock. Okay. We have been in our home and had 3 or 4 in our yard, and they do not move. Who do I call to get them out of my yard?
Yeah,
I don't like horses.
If they're posing a health and human safety risk, they can be gathered. Right.
I just want them out of my yard.
Yeah, but we don't. I mean, I'm not a horse wrangler. I don't even have a horse specialist on the district, and my wildlife biologist is. So we are trying to get a horse specialist, at least in the southern part of, or southern half of the state. One of the sniffloma projects that we did get approved for in round 19 is a wild horse and furrow and wilder and really broader wildlife management sniffloma project. And part of that's going to be surveying, hopefully, being able to do some water developments for springs in areas where the horses should be, so they're not trampling in the spring, but they have permanent water. So, but a lot of it is also just going out and surveying and making sure we have accurate counts. We do aerial counts every year or so with the Bureau of Land Management from a helicopter. But sometimes, depending on the weather, you get better counts than others. So, but this will be more on the ground.
Okay.
Yeah,
by 40 years.
Okay.
No, they got translocated from the fire.
And the other one has had three souls in the last 3 years.
It's a challenge.
Yeah, do what you can.
Probably the biggest challenge that agencies have.
They don't like vinegar, so you could just naturally put vinegar all around here. I just pour some vinegar around.
Okay, any other questions? Ryan?
Okay,
let's get Brian our attention, please.
Just quickly, basically what you're asking is to have more flexibility to hold these events whenever you want, basically, correct?
We just voted on that.
We already voted, yes.
Okay. Let him. Okay. So, with the metro split between Kyle Canyon and Lee Canyon, and with the DUI problems that we already have, I just feel like this is going to create more of a DUI situation. And parking issues, too. I mean, granted, Matt said that, you know, they try to shut things down when things get out of control, but it can happen like that. And now you got cars all up and down the road before they've even had a chance to turn them away. That's my concern, is the traffic, the DUI. That's my concern. I just want to get that out.
Okay. What's our chart for me?
I've got the permit number.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can share the, you want to share that now?
There's two electrical permits from 2022, commercial electrical, and one fire prevention permit for a member, if it falls under membrane, event structure, tent, or canopy from fire prevention.
I do have those. I was looking for more building stuff. Are those?
That's it. That's all they need for a membrane because it's not a built structure.
It's not a permanent structure. Oh, it's not a structure. It's not permanent.
Can you just text me those numbers and I'll go back and look at them? Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. Any other comments or questions during this public comment?
I'd like to make a comment.
Okay, thank you.
As a member of the community, I just want to say thank you to Ellis Islands. You guys have been our biggest source of community support over the years. There's nobody that does more than you guys do, and we really sorely miss you in our community.
Absolutely.
And I'd just like to add, we're waiting to do our first BFD fundraiser and our first school fundraiser. Get the doors open and bring this community back together.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. We're waiting for Christmas and New Year's and all those things. Okay.
Today was the first hurdle.
Okay, just an announcement. Real quick, there's probably people I don't know, but I do know we've got a new member resident in Old Town, Jessica, and I can't remember your last name.
Thompson.
And
she's
is your husband here?
She's an Echo.
She lives
in Old Town. She bought property in New Bravo, Fido.
Yeah.
Echo.
Mm-hmm. But she's all.
We live in Old Town.
Yeah, in Old Town. And she's our new assistant librarian, too. So.
And we have more. We have the Waynes here.
Okay.
They live in Echo, right across the street from me. So welcome.
Okay, thank you.
And who else did I see?
Anyone else that's been here the last, just moved in the last year? Anybody? Okay.
All good.
Very good. All good. Mm-hmm. And you raise your hand. See,
no, I'm just pointing at people.
Our next meeting is February 2nd, 2023. And if there's no other business to come before the board, we are adjourned.
Sure.
And
Mona, one question.
So really quick, what I've noticed is when the two pounds of salt, it's a different color. What's the component of salt?
I have no idea because I think that's NDOT, and NDOT is not a good thing on subdivision.
We use the exact same thing that NDOT does, and the color changes all the time just because of the chemical makeup.
Did they get rid of the salt?
So, is it have salt?
Yes, it's salt.
Oh, yeah.
It's a type of salt.
Okay. So now we're.